Well, you know what I think. I'm a Christian. I'm not going to deny that.
I do want everyone to feel comfortable. That's why I'd like to talk to you about Jesus.
Please do not go religious.
Somebody's going to hell over there.
He better not.
Even the devil will speak the truth for his own purposes.
This is war.
Accept it.
Back to Jerusalem podcast.
Yeah, I'm back, and I'm armed with righteousness.
With your host, Eugene Bach.
He just seems like he's got it all figured out.
He's a righteous dude.
Yep.
Hello and welcome to another Back to Jerusalem podcast. I'm Eugene Bach, your host for this time, and I'm coming to you live on delay from somewhere within the borders of America this time. And I have our good friends with us for mail time. If you've been with us in the past, what we've done is we've taken questions or comments, complaints that people have written on our social media or even sent us in letters or emails. And we've tried to answer them. We've tried to address some of those complaints. Sometimes we ask people that have challenged us directly to come on and join us on our Back to Jerusalem podcast. We don't often get takers. Sometimes we do, but we don't often get takers. So I've asked Bethany and Stephanie to come and join us for this Back to Jerusalem kind of mailbox time. And ask the question. Stephanie is the one who runs our social media, so she's seen several of those questions. Stephanie, thank you for joining us for another Back to Jerusalem podcast. Great to have you back.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And Bethany often acts as a moderator, so she kind of comes in with additional information, but also kind of calms me down when I go a little bit rabid on some of the attacks, because there are people that just talk out of their backside when they bring up, you know, things about China. That they you know, I've been living there, working there for more than 20 years, and then people that have never even been to China will make arguments about what happens in China, what doesn't happen in China, why things are better in China than what we're sharing or why they're worse. And I kind of sometimes get like, are you kidding me right now? It's like you've made bread every day, and then somebody who has never made bread in their entire life comes in and says, well, the reason why your bread is not good is because you don't, you know, and you just, as a bread maker, you just kind of go off. And anyway, that's why it's good to have Bethany with us on this call as well. So Stephanie, you have the letters that have come in, the complaints. I mean, you've been running our social, how long have you been running our social media now?
I think I'm in the second year.
In second year. Yeah.
Something around there.
Do you often find yourself, you know, answering people that maybe you feel like you don't know the answer to or trying to answer?
I try to avoid saying anything that doesn't pass through, you know, making sure that it's the right thing to say.
Yeah,
most
understand.
Comments are really positive. Most, I have to say, it's not like I have to send you a lot of, you know, questions now. I feel like when I first started out, there seemed to be a lot more. And so it was like, whoa, what am I getting myself into? But over time, it's really great. I think people really enjoy the perspective and being challenged and hearing about the persecuted church. And then you've got these few that maybe just haven't seen things correctly or have maybe been influenced by outside influences. And so I think it's great to have a perspective of someone, like you say, that is there on the ground and making bread.
Yeah. Do you have anybody that's kind of like in your personal life, in your personal circle, that just like, Stephanie, like what's going on? Like these people, like, I don't believe what they've said about this. Have you ever had that?
No, I feel, I've had people that have never heard that there is persecution going on around the world. I've had people that have never heard that that Bibles are illegal in other places in the world. I've people don't realize the significance of what it means, like to have a communist government and how that affects freedom of speech and freedom of religion. So I feel like there's been maybe just ignorance or people who are unaware, but then I've had the opportunity to share with them and say, hey, check out these books or check out this podcast. And they're very intrigued and interested in learning, because some people are just like, wow, I never knew that, which is somewhat shocking to me, just because we hear about it often and we pray about these things often and our hearts are broken for what happens around the world. Not that I've necessarily experienced it firsthand, but just learning about it myself has really refreshed and revolutionized and changed my walk with Christ personally. So I really enjoy when people have questions about what we've had the opportunity to learn about, but I have not really experienced face to face like some sort of resistance. Oh, that's not true, or what are you getting yourself into, or are you in a cult? Anything like that, you know?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, for me, I find it mind-blowing that people do not realize the number of countries where the Bible is banned. I just looked it up while I was sitting here. It's 52. So the list is 52 nations where the Bible is banned. And I find it crazy. And we're not talking about, you know, individuals who grew up Buddhist in London or grew up, you know, communist in Canada. These are individuals that, you know, are Christian. They're members of our churches, people that go to church, worship every week, and have no clue that Christians are being persecuted. Do you know why that, I mean, do you have a feeling why that is, Bethany? Why is ignorance so rampant around, and not just the world, the Christian world?
I think some of that is on us and people in our sphere. I mean, like, similar to Stephanie, I've never had people in my life that have said, well, actually, when I first joined B2J, everybody said, are you sure that's a good decision? but nobody's ever said that they think it's fake or anything like that. But I do know that people like my grandparents, especially even my parents, would say that it was talked about so heavily in their churches, that it was such a big emphasis that, I remember my parents saying every month they would have a missionary come and share on a Sunday night from, they'd literally, you know, fly to the UK and share. And so you'd had these people that were from the field that had been sent to the field and come back sharing what things were really like going on out there. And for whatever reason, that just simply hasn't, I've grown up in the church and I've never been in that kind of meeting outside of a Back to Jerusalem one. And so there's something about, I think, the church's lack of focus on the global church and especially the persecuted church, which means that you have people that have no clue. And well, I have to just share this really quick because you know about this, Eugene, but last night I was at such an amazing meeting where there was a boy, he's like 16 or 17, I don't know exactly how old he is. His mum's only been saved 6 or 7 years and she dragged him to church a few months ago and said if he came on Sunday, he wouldn't have to come at Christmas. And so that's why he showed up. And it happened to be a week I was sharing about Back to Jerusalem and the persecuted church specifically. And it's certainly not a gospel message by any stretch of the imagination, but I shared like we share. And he gave his heart to Christ that day, and he was baptized last night. And in his testimony that he shared, he talks about the persecuted church and how when he saw what people were going through for their faith, something in him said, there must be something to that. There must be some truth to that. And it impacted him so much. And you can just see he's so, I mean, you've met him, Eugene, he's so full of life and loves Jesus and wants to serve him, and all because of exposure to the persecuted church. And so I think that the lack of exposure is not just sad, it's actually robbing people of so much if we did share it. And some of that is on our hands as the Western church.
I think that right now, if I look at social media, if I look at mainstream media, I see a lot of talk about Islamophobia. I see a lot of talk about homophobia. I see a lot of talk about transgender phobia, where these groups are being persecuted, right? They are receiving persecution from us. And so it's almost as if Christians have now become hyper aware of everybody that is offended by our language, that we don't realize that there's an entire world that of Christians that are not being offended by language. They are being killed, raped, maimed, hanged. And I know that we have a very small reach, but also even when I go into churches, And I go to churches, you know, all across the nation. And I'm not talking about with Back to Jerusalem. I'm talking about from a personal, I do a lot of travel. And when I'm traveling, I often will attend services on Sunday, even when, you know, it has nothing to do with Back to Jerusalem. So yesterday, I was at a Lutheran church with my son. My granddaughter was christened. And so we were at her christening service at a Lutheran church here outside of Washington, D.C. And I had been to that church before. And that church and a lot of other churches that I've been to, I find that the services are very much about individuals. Like, what is your prayer life? We need to get closer to God. We need to have, you know, more devotion time. What can we do for your family? What can the church do for your children? How can we have more programs in our church for you guys to have something to do? Instead of Halloween, we can do some sort of like autumn festival. What can we do for Easter? I went to church yesterday. There was a big Easter egg hunt just before we arrived into the service. And these are not bad things. I'm only saying that that is so much of a focus that it is easy to go to church every single Sunday and never hear anything about missions, outreach, the persecuted church, what our fellow believers are going through on a daily basis. You can remain completely ignorant of that. But worse than that, you can walk away from a lot of those church services feeling completely informed. And I think that's even worse than you know, at least being knowledgeable about your ignorance and not going to church at all and be like, well, you know, I don't really go to church, therefore I don't know much. And so you understand a little bit about how little you know. Whereas if you go to church every week, you might feel that, you know, I'm good. I know what's going on with the Christian community. And so when you're smacked in the face with new information about something that you've never heard of, like a story like Miriam Ibrahim being thrown in prison in Sudan, or Sister Esther being thrown in prison in North Korea, or the fact that there are 52 countries that Bibles are illegal. I think that there's a lot of people like, what? Bible's illegal? No, come on. Not possible. Maybe you're doing a word dance. I did a podcast with a believer a few months ago. I'm sorry, not a believer, former believer. He kind of came on a little bit cheeky, in a cheeky way, saying that, you know, he was a Buddhist and he wanted to debate my Buddhist book of Leaving Buddha. And when I actually did the program with him, I found out that he actually had a completely different problem, which was, you say that Christianity brings, you know, wealth to an economy, and I'm saying that that's not true. And we started talking, and he was saying something about like, well, India doesn't have persecution. I was like, what? India? Like, we have teams in India that are being persecuted every single. What are you smoking? No. They're not persecuting Christians. They accept all faiths. No, they don't. And then I get Buddhists that contact and say, no, Buddhists are loving and caring and kind. No, you have obviously not been a Christian in Tibet. You've obviously not been a Christian in Bhutan, where these are Buddhist nations that have where Christians suffer. And so I think that, this is a completely different topic, but one worth kind of highlighting. You have a couple of complaints from people that have written in, Stephanie. Can you share some of them? I mean, it's been a while since we've done this kind of mail call.
Yeah. And I think kind of piggybacking off of what you said about like being there in China, and I was just thinking, a lot of what we believe is based on what we've experienced. And if we haven't experienced it, then it's based on what we've heard from other people or from other sources.
Good point.
So I think a lot of the times you can become very passionate about maybe what you have received secondhand. So I guess just a thought, because I think in this thread, this comes from our YouTube channel. And I think somebody did challenge this person who wrote this to say, said something like, have you been in China, as you know, have you been there? So he responds, back to Jerusalem, with all due respect and love for our Lord, I don't have to go to China to understand that you are bamboozling Christians that have little or no discernment. Being persecuted for one's faith is an entirely different issue from trying to convince people that you're launching a technology that is non-existent. Every adult in China has a cell phone that can have a Bible app on it. I've talked to someone who has been to one of your meetings, and there was no such demonstration of the Bible pill. This technology does not exist, period. So he's referring to our the Bible pill that we refer to as the holographic Bible. And he's just saying that, no way, that doesn't exist. You're bamboozling people. So
have you seen
the, respond, you mean.
Yeah, have you seen the hologram Bible?
I have.
Does it work?
Yes, it does. I have a funny story about it.
Please, go ahead.
So, you know, we've been kind of, my husband and I have really been, we'd like to say BTJ groupies for like maybe about 10 years now. And I don't know how, but all of a sudden it's like, we followed you around long enough and, you know, creeped you out long enough that you said, hey, come on board, just join us. So yeah, for anybody out there that loves BTJ, if you just hang out enough around, they might become your friends. So we were at a meeting kind of, I don't know, a few years ago, and it was at a large church. And, you know, you were giving the demonstration that you typically give talking about the pill Bible. And my husband, who's pretty tech savvy, he's been in IT for about 20 years. And he leans over and whispers to me, because I'm just like, oh, what? You know, I don't know much about anything. And he's like, he leans over and whispers in my ear and he's like, that's not possible. Like and I should preface, he got me to be the fan of Back to Jerusalem. So he really respects you, Eugene, and has always listened to the podcast and it's inspired his faith. But he leans over and he's like, that's not possible. Like that technology is not possible. It doesn't exist. So I went, oh, okay, what does that mean? And so we talked about it later that evening and we went to another meeting the following day. So you did not demonstrate the pill Bible at this meeting, but it was a large meeting and I believe it was being recorded, like it was being filmed. And so the following day we were at another meeting, which was really a smaller group, more intimate, and you demonstrated the pill Bible and it worked and we saw it for ourselves with our own eyes. And I looked at him and I was like, what? Like, what do you mean it doesn't work, you know? And he just, his eyes were, you know, his mind was blown. Like, okay, I can see with my own eyes that, it, you know, you have to see things sometimes with your own eyes. So I guess it, all that to say is I can relate to people or my husband, certainly with being, you know, tech background and all that to say, oh no, that technology doesn't exist. So it is one of those things that you have to kind of maybe see with your own eyes to become a believer. But yeah, it does exist. And I think we actually have one in our, I mean, I know we have one in our possession. I don't want to brag about it, but, somebody gave one to my husband and it was like somebody giving him a jet airplane. That's how he felt.
Yeah. And I get it. Like there's people that understand technology. They've been around technology for a while. They work in the industry of technology. They work in the industry of developing new technology and they just, it doesn't exist. And so here's a disclaimer, when I describe how it works, I purposefully misdescribe it. The reason I do it, everything that I say is true, but I do something that I cannot explain on a podcast or a video because the way this object works, what makes it clandestine, the reason I can show it on video, the reason I can talk about it openly is because I do something that is a little bit misdirecting. It's kind of like a magic trick, right? Like I try to get you to look in one area while I'm doing something else. But this is true. It has a battery life that lasts for anywhere from a year to a couple of years. So it doesn't need to be plugged in, it doesn't need the battery changed, and it doesn't need to be charged. That is true. It is also a device that is the size of a pill, and it's not attached to any wires. It's an independent, small, pill-size Bible. That is also true. It is a Bible. I'm just being very careful with how I choose my words here. It is also a Bible that has the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So you can read the entire Old Testament and New Testament using this Bible. And this Bible illuminates the air. So that it's not written on the device itself. It illuminates the air. And that's why I say it's a hologram. Because instead of reading on the device, you are reading in the air. And I'm not talking about a projection. I'm not talking about you're projecting onto the wall and reading on a wall. It's not a projector. It illuminates the air in front of your face, and you're able to read the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible is all encapsulated, completely encapsulated in this small pill that can be easily hidden and transferred into many different countries and even facilities where there's, you know, very high security. So the hologram pill-sized Bible that B2J has is real. It does work. And just because this individual has never seen a DVD player doesn't mean that a DVD player doesn't work. Just because this individual cannot explain a rocket jet engine doesn't mean that a rocket jet engine doesn't work. I've never seen that individual's brain, but I would argue that he probably has one. What say you? Bethany, I just saw that you covered your face.
Oh, because that went in a better direction than I. I think it brings up just a small add-on subject here. I've had people before that have emailed in and written to us and said things like, maybe we've done an article about, let's say, Iraq, and we've talked about a certain place where we've done a certain project. And there have been people that have said, don't you know that you're putting people in danger? And why would you say where they're at? And why would you? And it's like people think that we're dumb, like this is our first rodeo, and it's not. And just because, you know, there's a reason that you don't describe things exactly how they work. And that's not because you're lying. It's because we understand security. There's a reason that you don't show everybody from a church pulpit when it's been recorded what it looks like and how it works, because you understand security. There's a reason that even when we might say we're working here in Iraq and doing this project, that's not actually true. It's not that we're lying. It's just we've changed some things to keep the security. And so I think it's important for people to understand that our priority is the security of the people that we work with and that we serve. And if that means that you're confused, we're sorry, and we'll try and help you to understand the best we can, but never to the detriment of the security of the people that we serve and work with. And that's what happened here. Just because you didn't see a full close-up demonstration and an instruction manual of how it works doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It means that we're prioritizing the people that we're serving with the hologram Bible.
And I do display it, just not on camera. And oftentimes I will pull people into a group. I've shown people how it works 50 at a time. And it's usually young people that are just blown away. And the reaction that I always get is no way, no stinking way. Like, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen, because you don't have this in the civilian world. What we have doesn't exist in the civilian world. So you have this small size pill. This pill, by the way, has no buttons. There are no buttons on this apparatus, this Bible, this hologram Bible. And so the way that it works has to be very carefully concealed. So I cannot show it or display it being used on camera. And we've had it now for like half a decade. And we're still able to use it with people like this guy saying, yeah, it doesn't work, because he still hasn't seen it anywhere. Even though we've been talking about it for several years, he hasn't seen it working. He hasn't seen it displayed. And I think that that's a credit to our organization in one way, that also we don't sell it. Do you know how easily we could sell this to other organizations? But as soon as we sell it, security's over. And then this goes out everywhere. So we only take it into remote areas to people that need it the most. And the people that need it the most, fair enough, are not in China. So he's right. Chinese do have mobile phones. They do have access to Bibles. We're going to get into that later on why that's a problem all by itself. But we don't need these in China for China proper. Where we do use these in China, Mr. Concerned Citizen, is in Western China with the Uyghurs that have been put in gulags, that their bodies get completely checked for everything. Do you think that Uyghurs are going to gulags for re-education with their mobile phones in hand? Not a chance. Because Chinese are denying that these concentration camps or these re-education camps even exist. So they don't want video getting out there. They don't want audio getting out there. They don't want photos getting out there. And you have a recording device for audio, video, and photos with your mobile phone. So those mobile phones are not going into these concentration camps. These areas have to smuggle in the smallest of things, which our pill Bible can go in. Our pill Bible can get into the gulags, and that is where we've done distribution in Western China, into the gulags of Western China. So that is just plain ignorance when you look at China as a monolithic nation. It's not. So for those of our listeners that are not aware, not everybody in China looks like Jackie Chan. Not everywhere in China revolves around Shanghai. China's bigger than the US geographically, and it's more diverse than Europe. So meaning that Western China is as different from Eastern China as Italy is from Russia, as Sweden is from Poland. Different language, different culture, different history, different foods, different clothing, different outward appearances, different skin tone, eye color, hair color. All of those things are completely different from Western China to Eastern China. And anybody that tries to make an argument that China is this one solid, complete nation where everybody speaks the Chinese language, looks like Jackie Chan, you're just wrong. You're wrong on so many different levels. I don't even know where to begin with your stupidity. I have to actually take time and go through things slowly, like a color by book kind of setup. So anyway, I see the sign I'm getting from Bethany to ease up.
But also, I think it's worth saying that even though we have them with the Chinese language and use them in China, we don't just use them in China. There's several countries outside of China that we use the Pill Bible in. I don't know that we've ever said that they're specifically only for China.
In fact, in fact, the primary location, the reason it was developed was for Iraq. But the nation that we use it, the main focus of it today is North Korea, not China.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's a bit of an assumption. So just an add-on.
I also think that sometimes, especially as Americans, we can get so wrapped up in the cool technology possibility of this idea. And it's like, oh, prove it. You know, show us, prove it, advertise it, make a video about it. And I just want to say, you know, our people seem to be forgetting the purpose of this technology. It's not to have something really cool, even though it is cool. People are sacrificing their lives to own any, you know, even a page of the Bible. So we forget that there is great sacrifice on the other side of those who receive something like this, or any kind who are hungry for the Word of God, hungry for this bread of life, and can't have it in plain sight. And we take that for granted very easily in the Western world. And we forget that, or maybe we just don't even know that there are people whose lives are suffering over just the simple desire to want to know God's word. And so I don't know, it's kind of like, why are we quarreling over this? Like, if you don't believe it, you haven't seen it, that's fair. Okay, you don't have to believe it, but there are people in our organization who are working very hard not to develop something that's cool that they can show off. They're working very hard because there are people who need and long for the Word of God, but they can't have it in plain sight. And so praise God that there's minds out there that are smart enough, not me, but other minds out there that are smart enough to develop something like this that's just incredible that can be hidden, that can be used to share the gospel or encourage your faith. And I guarantee that if ever as a Christian you had no access to the Word of God and you were going to be lay your life down for even the possibility of that access, you would think very differently about how to give and receive Bibles. And so I'm amazed and I praise God that this technology does exist and that there are people out there that are working hard to put it into the hands of those that need it most.
And I think that's a really good point. do you think I'm going to try to win an argument to prove you wrong by showing you that you're wrong, which would involve jeopardizing the lives of so many people? Like, I'm going to put people's lives in danger just to satisfy your desire to see something or my desire to prove you wrong. No. Which also begs the question, I think some people might naturally be asking, why even talking about it at all? Like, if it's so secret, why not just keep it that way? If you develop this kind of technology, why even talk about it? Wouldn't it be safer for the people on the ground to not have anybody talking about this at all? You know, your husband, Stephanie, joined us at our hackers conference that we have every year. And so we have to talk very carefully about how we develop, who we develop with, and who is allowed into the projects that we're doing, because we're really concerned about individuals that might share too much and jeopardize an entire project because they may have, you know, breached security by sharing information that is not to be shared. So at Back to Jerusalem, we walk a very fine line because we feel that there is power in sharing testimonies about what God is doing. We feel that it encourages the body of Christ, and there is not a way to measure that tangibly, but there is something to be said about motivating the troops to share with the body of Christ that this is what is happening going into the enemy's territory. Because it's very easy to hear what the enemy's doing every day. I mean, people sit at home and they're bombarded from every direction about their kids being attacked at school with all of these secular teachings, with their county being taken over, their city being taken over, their nation being taken over by anti-Christian personalities and movements. And it's very easy to be like, wow, we're losing. And it's so empowering, I think, to be like, no, we're not. Like, what God is doing, you're not hearing about. This is what is taking place is a movement that is piercing into the darkest regions of the world. And the enemy is scared out of his mind. That's why you're seeing these other reactions, is because the enemy is freaking out and he's trying to quickly grapple with his loss of land in other areas. And so that's the reason why we share it. But we try to do it in a way that motivates prayer partners, people that have been standing together financially with Back to Jerusalem, individuals that are wanting to learn more about Back to Jerusalem. We share this information to encourage them. We share this information to inform them and to motivate them. But we try to do it in a way that also doesn't jeopardize security. So there's one way to not jeopardize security, and that's not share anything at all. And then there's a way to motivate everybody, and that is to share everything openly. But I don't think either of those are a smart way to fully inform or to fully not inform. And so how do you do that safely? How do you do that in a way that does motivate but doesn't jeopardize security? And I think if we err, we try to err on the side of security. We try to, if we're going to make an error, we try to be on the side that is more secure than not. And so I think that that's where we're at with this. And I know that we have limited time, so I know that you have other questions. So let's move on to the next question. That one, you're just wrong. We have somebody in the UK, somebody in the US, and then myself. We've all seen it. And I think, do you have one, Bethany? Do you have a pill Bible?
I don't have one with me, no.
No. So Stephanie has one. I have one. Bethany has seen one, held one, used one. So we're good.
You have one because I transported yours. So that's my part in it.
Yeah.
No. And I was not paid for this endorsement.
No, you were not.
All right. So the next topic is about Bibles in China. So this is a comment who is quoting, he says, this is from a Chinese Christian brother who lives in China. Quote, and I quote, "Of course, I'm a Chinese Christian, and I want to tell you that not only can I have a Bible, I have more than a dozen Bibles in Chinese, in English, and in Hebrew. English Bibles have so many versions. I have King James Version, English Standard Version, American Standard Version, New International Version, Darby's Translation, etc. And we have Bible apps available on smartphones. Just open App Store and search and download. And Bible study software is available on the internet. We also have Biblical Hebrew and Biblical Greek textbooks, dictionaries, and grammar guides, etc., published in China as well as abroad. Our church runs several official accounts in WeChat, the Chinese version of Twitter. They share biblical verses, Bible study materials, hymns, etc. on the accounts. We're totally free to worship the Lord every Sunday, have Bible study classes, and preach the gospel. If you come to visit our church, you'll surely have a warm welcome." And end quote. He says, "Thank you, Brother Zhao, enough said."
This was a very good argument. Is it true that you can buy the King James Version, the New International Version, the Standard English Version of the Bible in China? Yes, you can. Is it true that China makes more Bibles, prints more Bibles inside of China than every country in the world? Yes, that is correct. Does this person go to a church service every Sunday? My assumption is they're telling the truth, so I'm going to say yes. So what are we talking about at Back to Jerusalem? When we say there's not enough Bibles inside of China, when we say that Bibles are banned inside of China, this is obviously a contradiction. This is a Chinese person that is living in China and clearly has everything that we at Back to Jerusalem say that Chinese do not have. So what is the issue? Are we lying or are they lying? I would say neither of us are lying. And this is very, very important for people to understand. There's a couple of things that this person from China is being a little bit either ignorant on or disingenuous. The language that they use is a little bit like the three self church. And that's what I'm assuming. I'm going to speak now, assuming that this person is part of the three self church. That's the only explanation for this person to say what they're saying. And to be truthful about it, they have to be a part of the three self church. And let me tell you why what they said is not completely correct and why we have to do the work that we do. Let me just share this from the beginning. And that is, Bible printing inside of China is not sexy. This is not something that we feel brings in a lot of money, because it doesn't. This is also something that we don't like necessarily doing, because now getting money into China is very, very difficult. Stephanie, Bethany, both of you guys know that I'm often requiring prayer requests for our money into China for Bible printing, because it's so tightly controlled and regulated now with banking. And so we have to take very difficult measures in order to get Bible printing money into China. We have to take even greater measures to print those Bibles, and even greater measures to get those Bibles distributed to different parts of China. So where is the breakdown? What is the challenge here? Now, this is extremely important to understand. One is, if a foreigner goes to China, the idea that they're going to be warmly welcomed into a Chinese church is absolute BS. That's bogus. You have to be officially invited for a foreigner to go to a three self church in 99% of the situations. There might be remote situations where a foreigner could go to a three self church. But the reason three self churches are called three self churches is because they're not connected with foreigners. It means that they are financially self-sufficient. They are self-sufficient for their leadership and self-sufficient for their propagation. That's what three self church means. That's what a three self church is in China. And that's what official churches in China are called, three self churches. You can go to a three self church in China as a Chinese citizen, but you have to be registered with those churches. Many Christians, the majority of Christians, the overwhelming majority of Christians do not attend a three self church. Why? Because three self churches are controlled by the government. The pastors are elected, selected, and ordained by the government. Their training is provided by the government, approved by the government. There are certain things that pastors in three self churches are not allowed to teach. For instance, they can't teach about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They can't talk about the virgin birth, and they can't talk about the second coming. You take away those three aspects of the church and you're left with nothing that's of significance for Christianity. So the many Christians inside of China will not join the three self church because of that reason. Also, anytime three self church pastors want to do baptism services, they have to get approval for the people that they baptize. So this happens all the time. If a three self church pastor has to baptize, he gets, let's say, 20 people in his congregation that says, I want to be baptized. The pastor has to submit that list to the government, and the government, let's say, approves 5. What happens to the other 15 when they can't get baptized, or they have to wait for the next baptism? Well, before that 15 can get baptized, now there's another 20 that want to be baptized. Now you have 35 people instead of 20 people, right? And this continues to grow over time. So a lot of Christians will not attend three self churches. Those that I work with are a part of the underground house church. Why are they called a part of the underground house church? Because they build churches underground in caves? No. They actually meet in factories, homes, buildings that are, 30 feet or 30 stories in the air. So they're the opposite of underground. They're very much above ground. We say underground as a term to recognize them as being illegal. They are black market churches, if you will. They're not allowed by the government. Only those fellowships that are registered with the government are allowed to operate. And you cannot be registered with the government unless you're an official church. And only official churches are allowed. So therefore, that foreigner that wants to go to an official church, I know I've done it, would be blocked. There are churches for foreigners. In order to get to those churches that welcome foreigners, you have to have a passport. And you have to show your passport at the door. Chinese are not welcomed. China keeps those two separate. So that's bogus. That person may not know that. They may have never had a foreigner visit their church. So that they might be ignorant on that. And that happens a lot with the three self. Also, they say that, oh, I have a Bible. We print many Bibles inside of China. This is correct. China prints more Bibles than any other nation in the world. However, the overwhelming majority of those, more than 90% is my guessing, are for export use only. The reason I say is my guessing is because the Bible Society supports what's called Amity Press. Amity Press is the number one Bible printer in the world. It's run by the government of China, but it's supported by foreign organizations like the Bible Society. People donate money all around the world for paper, for Bibles to be printed on inside of China. That paper is being used to print Bibles. Why? Because it's good business. Go to almost any Bible store in America, in Europe, in the UK, in Australia, grab one of the Bibles off the shelf, open it up and find out where it's made. It's made in China. China's selling those at full price, but subsidized by the church. That's a pretty good business plan. You get people, that's like you have a taco stand, Stephanie. Somebody gave you a truck and free meat, and the only thing that you have to do is find somebody to serve taco meat in your taco truck that's been donated, and all the money that you get for selling those tacos stays in your pocket. That's a pretty good business plan. That's the way that Amity Press works inside of China. Now, they will not say how many Bibles percentage-wise are for export. That's not reported. If they would give us the weight of the tonnage of the paper, I could figure it out myself. but they won't do that. They won't do that because that's how they keep it under wraps on how few Bibles are allowed inside of China. Now, right now we have about 2 years ago or so, they just celebrated the 50 millionth Bible printed inside of China. Right now, we know that there's probably 130 to 170 million believers in China. So if every single Bible that Amity Press printed went to the Chinese Christians, still wouldn't be enough. And now we're not talking about Bibles that are for export. If we only look at those that are for domestic, it's only, and 1 out of 10 is very generous. It's actually less than that. We know that for a fact because when we try to buy Bibles inside of China, it's tightly regulated. Can I go and buy a Bible from the Three Self Church? Yes, I can. That has to be registered. If I go and I buy one for myself, I can do that. But I have to be a member of the church. I have to be registered with the church. And that purchase is monitored. If I want to go and buy five, that's a no-go. So if I want to buy five and distribute them out to other people, you can't do that inside of China. You can only buy for yourself. And so if you want to buy a Bible, that is regulated. So it's very difficult to buy several Bibles, meaning that there are many Christians that cannot get a Bible. Out of the one for every 10 Bibles that I'm talking about that are printed inside of China, the majority of those are not full Bibles. They're only New Testaments. That means now you've cut it down even fewer. So a city like the size of Shanghai, for instance, that has anywhere from 8 to 15 million people, depending if you look at the metropolitan area or not, or just the center city, they would only get a couple hundred Bibles for their entire population. That is not enough Bible. When's the last time that you had to go to the city center, Stephanie, and to ask somebody to look at the Bible? This person said, I have a lot of English Bibles in my home. Okay, that's great. You can buy English Bibles. I have the King James, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that's fine. How many Chinese Bibles can I buy at once? That was interesting that they did not address that. And maybe that person doesn't know. I know. Because if I could just waltz into any place inside of China and buy Bibles, I know that I would rather do that than print them illegally, because printing them illegally sucks. It's very difficult. We have to move around our printing press. That's no fun at all. I've also worked directly with Amity Press for many years, printing Bibles and pulling them out the back door. So I know exactly how Amity Press, the major supplier of Bibles inside of China, works, because I've worked with them many years illegally off the books. So I hope that answers a little bit of that question, why the Christians that we work with inside of China really need Bibles. But it gets worse than that, right? I just made an argument on why there's not enough Bibles being printed per year. But it gets worse than that, because throughout the years, including up until last year, we had many reports of churches being raided. And when they're raided, all of their Bibles are confiscated and destroyed. That means the few Bibles that we have available are now destroyed and gone. And so now the situation is exacerbated because not only are there not enough Bibles being printed, but the ones that people have are being destroyed by the government whenever there's a raid. It gets worse than that. Because not only does China limit the number of Bibles that are allowed for the Chinese, not only are they destroying the Bibles that are currently available in the homes of Chinese Christians, they are also creating their own translation to flood the market with a Bible that's not even properly translated. When I mean properly translated, I'm not talking about, you know, you use another word for car, like automobile. I'm not talking about, you know, this translation says that Jesus walked to Jerusalem, and another translation said Jesus went to Jerusalem. I'm talking about a translation that transforms the meaning of stories. Whereas one of the examples that we have is Jesus in the newest Bible translation that is being done by the Chinese government, that the Chinese are rewriting a story, for instance, where there was a woman at the well. Sorry, not a woman at the well, a woman that was being condemned for adultery. And those that were going to stone her and judge her, Jesus was able to make an argument to say that let the one with no sin cast the first stone.
Would you like me to read it?
Yes, please. Great.
I thought it would be good to pull up. According to the translation of the Chinese version, the end of the story concludes when so Jesus still says, "Who are you to cast the first stone?" And then he says, "When the crowd retreated, Jesus then raised a stone himself and killed the woman, saying, 'I also am a sinner. But if the law can only be executed by a spotless person, the law must die.'"
Yeah, so instead of letting her walk away, according to the new Chinese translation, the woman is stoned. And the reason why that is put in there is that there's nobody that's outside of the law. That's very important to understand. And the Chinese can care less about the law of Moses. They're talking about their law. So they do not want anybody believing that you can be forgiven for breaking the Chinese national laws. And so this was a part of their socializing the Bible. So they're socializing the Bible because it's been so impactful. They can't stop the printing of it that they want to change it. And I know that we've run out of time now, so we need to wrap this up. But do you feel that that answers that person's question, Stephanie?
I think it does. I think it's informative. And I think that there's a difference between being able to own a Bible and freedom in China. And there's, from what you have described, you may be able to be part of the government-run regulated church, but I think that looks very different than what the underground house church looks like in being able to operate, not necessarily in government freedom, I guess, by their rules, but at least freedom to have a true Bible that is accurate and preaching the entire whole gospel and not just a part of it. So, yeah, I think people will just have to maybe do their own research and go a little bit beyond what's said in a brief comment off of limited information.
Yeah, and let me just throw out one more thing because I just realized that there was one aspect that I did forget. And they said that, you know, we have, every Chinese has a mobile phone. That's true. Every Chinese has access to a Bible from Bible apps online. That is absolutely categorically proven false. You can do a Google search on that and see that that is not true. In fact, Apple and Android have both limited the Bible on their app stores in China. So they have a different app store for China that abides by Chinese law than it does for international law, specifically for China. The Bible used to be available through several Chinese apps. That is no longer the case. They also talk about his group being able to talk on WeChat. That is also categorically false for most Christians, not the Three Self Church, because the Three Self Church regulates themselves and uses WeChat because Three Self Church is run by the government. In fact, the person in charge of the Three Self Church is not a Christian. They are an atheist. So the person that's in charge of the Religious Affairs Bureau, that's in charge of the Three Self Church of China, is a member of the Communist Party. To be a member of the Communist Party, you have to be an avowed atheist. So the person in charge of the church in China is an atheist. And they regulate what is said on their own group chats. So does that person have a group chat with their church? They probably do. I'm assuming they do. But the Christians that are a part of the underground church that use WeChat have been shut down and WeChat has been used to hunt them down and identify their activities, where they're at, and what they're doing. So I just wanted to end with that because that was also something that many people might be listening to, and it's a very logical question. You know, is that a situation where people could just download the Bible on their phone? That seems pretty easy. No, the answer is no. In fact, if people download the Bible on their phone while abroad, let's say the Chinese go leave China and go to Thailand or America or Europe for vacation, when they arrive back, many Chinese have their phones checked. Not all of them, but there have been massive checks taking place during immigration process going back into China to make sure there are no Bible apps on their phone specifically. So Stephanie, Bethany, it was great having you guys again on the Back to Jerusalem podcast. It was great doing this mail time. Let's bring you back, Stephanie, and do it again in the future. I want to thank you guys so much for joining us for another Back to Jerusalem podcast. Again, I'm Eugene Bach, your host for this time, coming to you live on delay from somewhere within the borders of America. God bless.